ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
श्रीमद्भागवतम् कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 1 नंबर 1 ट्रांसलेशन एंड कमेंट्री बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रीला इसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद फ्रॉम द आचार्य ऑफ स्कॉ यतोन व्याद इतरतश्चातेष्वभिज्ञास्वरात् तेने ब्रह्म हृदय या आदि कवय मोहयन्ति यत् सूर्यः तेजो वारी मृदं यथा विनिमयो यत्र तृषागोमश धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहकं सत्यं परं धीमहि. This first shloka of the Bhagavatam describes directly Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada has given a very long purport to this. And we know also that Bhakti Sansasar Thakur, when he was staying in Dhaka, for 30 days he lectured on this one verse for 2 hours each day, explaining it in different ways. And even one word, if you take, that can be explained in so much detail. Nirasta kuhakam means, sada nirasta kuhakam, means that he's always free from illusion. So how Krishna is free from illusion? It may appear that Krishna is also under illusion because he is known as Yashoda Nandan, Nanda Nandan, Devaki Nandan. He appears like the son of Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, Devaki, Vasudeva Nandan, Vasudeva, the son of Vasudeva. It appears that he's just an ordinary child. He plays with his friends, just like he was playing with his friends. And they came and accused to Yashoda Mai that your son Krishna, he's stealing. He's eating dirt. What a nasty thing he's doing. So this sounds like a very ordinary thing that children are playing, and because of some argument, they come and complain to the one child's mother. So when Yashoda Mai looked inside Krishna's mouth, just like an ordinary woman might look inside an ordinary son's mouth in such a circumstance, she saw all the universes within his mouth. So he may appear very ordinary, but he's not. That Brahma, here it said, Tene Brahma Hrida Ya Adi Kavaye, that he imparted Vedic knowledge to Brahma. But even though he imparted the Vedic knowledge to Brahma, and all the Vedas are meant for understanding Krishna, all the Vedas are meant for understanding Krishna, and the Vedic knowledge was given to Brahma, yet Muhyanti yat Surya. Even though the Suras, Sura means demigod, Sura means those who are devotees of Lord Vishnu. Vishnu Bhakta Bhavadaiva Asurast Asurast Tadvipaya. Vividha, what is that verse? Vividha Sargabhutasmin Daiva Asara Evacha. Vishnu Bhakta Bhavadaiva Asurast Tadvipaya. In this world there are two kinds of beings. One is a devotee and one is a demon. So Sura means demigod, or it means one who is a devotee. So even the demigods who are devotees, they may be put into illusion about Krishna. They may think he's just an ordinary person. And Brahma, who is the greatest demigod, the leader of all the demigods, he was also put into illusion by Krishna because he thought that Krishna was in illusion. He thought that Krishna is just an ordinary person. Just an ordinary little boy. What is he doing? Just eating his mother Yashoda, just some ordinary cowherd. Woman is cooking some food. And what is he? He's taking it in his lunchbox, and his friends are stealing it, and they're fighting with him. And sometimes Krishna is defeated. And this is God? I thought God was Narayan, my father. Very majestic. Everyone is offering obeisances. Is this God? I don't think so. Anyway, let's see. So Brahma stole all the cows and cowherd bones. Then he saw, oh yes, this is actually Krishna is God. And when he went to see, and later on, also in Krishna's Leela, Brahma went to see Krishna in Dwaraka. He was a little puffed up, thinking, I'm Brahma, I'm the head of Krishna, I've come to see Krishna. He didn't know how great Krishna is, or how small he was. And Krishna showed that story that he was the doorkeeper stopped him and said, who are you? What do you think you're doing, coming here? This is the court of Krishna, you just can't come? Well, I'm Brahma. Tell Krishna that I'm Brahma, I come to see. Okay, just wait here. Don't be too hopeful. He's God, so he doesn't see ordinary people like you all the time. So Brahma thought this doorman is a fool. He doesn't know who I am. Anyway, let's humor him. We have the same experience often on book distribution. We're going to make life members. We go to the office of some big man and he has some miserable chokidar on the door who stops you from coming inside. So Brahma was waiting. Then news came back. So Krishna said, Krishna had sent the message to the chokidar. Which Brahma? Which Brahma are you? So Brahma went inside. Hey, Brahma told him, well, which Brahma? I mean, I'm looking down on the whole universe all the time. I don't see any other Brahma. I said, well, I'm the four-headed Brahma, and, you know, I sit on, what am I supposed to do? Usually when someone gives their description, they give their father's name in India, just like you see if you have to fill up any form. You put your name and your father's name also, especially in South India. You from South India? And everyone is known by their... They don't have a surname, actually. Just they have their father's name. So Brahma thought, well, how should I give my father's name? Because he's my father. So anyway, he described, I'm four-headed, I sit on top of the universe. I went inside. All right, come inside. He went back to Krishna and Krishna said, all right, let him come inside. So Brahma came inside and offered his obeisances. He said, Krishna said to him, so, how are you? Everything okay? Yes, yes. So, anything special you came for? Any trouble in Brahma Loka? No, I just came to have your darshan, but there's just one little doubt I have. Maybe you could clear it. Yes, yes, what is that? Why did you ask which Brahma? I didn't know there's any other Brahma. So Krishna laughed a little bit. Then he called all the Brahmas from all the universes. But only this four-headed Brahma could see them. So this Brahma, because our universe happens to be the smallest universe, he only has four heads. That's the minimum needed to look down over all the universe. He's looking down from the top. Kamalasana, sitting on the lotus flower, looking down. And look all around, see what's going on. So then he saw some Brahma with 8 heads, 16 heads, 100 heads, 1,000 heads, even that hundreds of thousands of heads, millions of heads. Even the Chaitanya Charitamrita gives the word arbud, which means that one koti is a crore, then 100 crores means, koti means 100 million. So 100 times that is arbud. So even Brahmas with 100 times 100 million heads. Some universes are very big. So Brahmas also have many heads just to see everything. So then Brahma, he felt himself like a mouse in an assembly of elephants. And he thought, oh, I thought I was very big. And I thought I was so big coming to see Krishna. So Muhyanti Yat Surya. Krishna is nirastu, sada nirastu kuhakam, always free from illusion. But even the demigods, they may be put in illusion. Mostly the demigods, they are sakama bhaktas. They have some desire to fulfill. Therefore they come in this material world and they also serve Krishna. But they're fulfilling some desire. It's like sometimes you see some people in India, they're like demigods in many ways. Because they worship Krishna, and they're born in a very nice family, and they live, materially they live a very nice life. They have all the opulences, Janmaishvarya Shuta Shri, birth in a nice family, sufficient money, good education, good bodily features. You see many people, they're just like demigods. And they also worship Krishna, they're very pious, they're not attracted to sinful activities, they never perform sinful activities. Just like demigods, and they worship Krishna, but they're sakama bhakti. They're not interested in surrendering fully to Krishna. They worship Krishna. They're satisfied with that. They're happy with their material life. Nothing gross sense gratification, but they have their family and their children and their house. Sakam bhakti. Srimad Bhagavatam particularly teaches, as the next verse describes, Nishkam akam bhakti. Next verse describes that even that sakam bhakti, even though later on in the Bhagavatam, that is accepted to some extent. Akama sarva kama va moksha kama udhara ti ti vrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Even that's accepted to some extent, that even if you have all kinds of material desires, or if you have no material desires, or if you desire liberation, whatever position you may be in, you should very seriously and strongly worship Krishna. So that's accepted to some extent. But the real idea of Srimad Bhagavatam is dharma projita kaitava atra dharma nirmat saranam satam. Bhagavatam is particularly meant not for fulfilling any material desire, as most of the shastras, almost all these shastras, they are meant for fulfilling some material desire. If you see, there is at the end of each chapter, at the end of each section of Shastra, especially in the Puranas, there is Phalashruti. It's said that by reading this, you can get free from the sin of killing a brahmana, or by reading this, you can get a nice wife, or by reading this, you will go to the heavenly planets. It's like there's that Ekadashi book. If you follow this Ekadashi, you can go to the moon, or Putrada Ekadashi. By doing this, you will get nice sons. It's some materialistic offering is given. Some materialistic incentive. If you follow this, you'll get some material result. The Srimad Bhagavatam is not meant for that. Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for the Paramahamsas who don't want anything material. They're not interested in anything material. Paramahamsa, the word Hamsa is given. The example is just like a swan. A swan can take, if you put a mixture of milk and water, the swan will extract the cream. It'll take the milk. Knows how to take it. There's a mixture of good and bad. Knows how to take the good. So Paramahamsa, that example is given. In this material world, there's the whole atmosphere is vitiated. It is full of kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsari, all the bad qualities. Lust, greed, anger, envy, illusion. Kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsari, all those qualities. So, but this material world is also an opportunity to serve Krishna. So those who are Paramahamsas, they know how to live in this world and serve Krishna. They don't say this material world is bad. The material world is not bad. The material world is an opportunity to serve Krishna, the one who has the vision. The one who doesn't know how to serve Krishna in this material world is a very bad place, because one is simply crushed by Maya. The one who knows how to serve Krishna is very good. You can utilize everything in Krishna's service. It's an opportunity to serve Krishna in the best way. By preaching, bringing people back to Krishna. Just like, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. His guru, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, was living in Mayapur. And he used to say to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, don't go to Calcutta. That is just like hell. Because Calcutta was a much better city in those days. Now it's really like hell. But hell means because the business there of the people is how to live their life in a materialistic way. Whereas Mayapur, that is meant for Krishna consciousness only. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he thought that no, Calcutta is not like hell. Calcutta is wonderful because there's so much opportunity to preach Krishna consciousness. He was thinking like that. But for one who has the vision, then even this material world becomes a very wonderful. Kaivalyam narakayate chudashapur akasha pushpayate yojandendriya kala sapa patalipat kata dangstrayate. Then, what is the next line? Vidivahendradish chakutayate. Vishvam purna sukhayate. That's the one I was looking for. Vidivahendradish chakutayate. Yat karanya kataksha vaibhavatam tam goranivastum. For one who's got little bit of mercy of Lord Chaitanya, someone who Lord Chaitanya glanced at even slightly with his mercy glance, then for him merging into the impersonal effulgence of the Lord, which is so much praised by the Brahmavadis. He thinks that's just like going to hell, or even worse, because in hell, at least there's some chance to think of Krishna, some chance to serve Krishna. At least you could say Hare Krishna, you could think to do so. But in the impersonal Brahman effulgence, simply you're just absorbed in Brahman and personal effulgence. So just like going to hell, because no chance to serve Krishna. And the opportunity to go to the heavenly planets sounds no more realistic to a devotee than akasha pushpa. Did you ever see flowers growing in the sky? No, it's meaningless. So heavenly happiness also to the devotee is meaningless. They're different things. Akasha pushpa. Bengali they say, gore bhim, means horse's eggs. It's meaningless. The horse never laid, horse never made any eggs. So like that, heavenly happiness. You can go to heaven and enjoy the beautiful girl, have a big strong body, and very nice nandan kanan, nice garden. Sometimes you see people, they call their house nandan kanan in India. But it's not nandan kanan. It's just, the name is this, but it's not heavenly happiness. But even if you do have the happiness of nandan kanan, sporting with the apsaras, then Prabodhananda Saraswati says, it's no more meaningful than horse's eggs or flowers in the sky. Then what else is there? That the senses, which are just like poisonous serpents, which will bite you and poison you and destroy your spiritual life. For a devotee, they become no more, the senses are no more dangerous than a snake with the poison fangs extracted. If a snake has the poison taken out, then it may be a snake, it may look dangerous, but it's not actually dangerous. It's like you see these snake charmers, they have these snakes. But then they're all drugged up, and snakes have no poison in them. So they may look dangerous, but they're not dangerous. And Vishvam Purna Sukhayate, for a devotee, he doesn't see this material world as miserable. Like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Dukhalayam Ashashvatam, Anityam Asukham Lokam. Twice Krishna says in two different ways in Gita, that in this material world, everything is temporary and miserable. But for a devotee, Vishvam Purna Sukhayate, everything in this material world is simply bliss. Because everything means there's a chance to serve Krishna. So he sees everything very nice. Vishvam Purna Sukhayate, Vidhi Mahindra Vishchakutayate. And the great demigods, like Indra and Brahma, he sees no more significant than a little insect. This is the quality of one who's got the mercy of Krishna. His consciousness is different. So this Srimad Bhagavatam is meant to make our consciousness different. This Srimad Bhagavatam is meant to bring us to Krishna consciousness. Therefore, from the very beginning, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudeva, obeisances are offered to Vasudeva, who is Satyam Param, who is the Supreme Absolute Truth. Don't just think that he's the son of Vasudeva. He's just some ordinary son, ordinary person. He's apparently the son of Vasudeva, but he is Param Satya. He is the Supreme Absolute Truth upon whom all the Paramahamsas dhimahi meditate. So here Krishna is described in Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a great science. Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam Mukta Sangasya Jayate. Bhagavat states that this science of God, if anyone can understand, then he becomes freed from this material world. Therefore, this Bhagavatam, this is most dear to the devotees because it gives knowledge of Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam, Puranam Amalam, Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless Purana because here it's not said how you can enjoy material life, how you can get moksha. Here it is recommended how you can become fully Krishna conscious. Therefore, this Bhagavatam is very dear to the devotees. Yasmin paramahamsyam ekam amalam jnanam param giyate. Why is it dear to the devotees? Because in this Srimad Bhagavatam is given that spotless knowledge which is relished by the paramahamsas, by those who are on the topmost platform of spiritual life. Tatra jnana viraga bhakti sahitam naishkamyam ayam avishkritam. And here is described how one can live in this world, doing all his activities, without getting the results, any karmic results, because his activities are full of devotion to Krishna, and therefore also enriched with knowledge and renunciation. Therefore, Bhagavatam recommends, Tachrinvan, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Supatan, read it very carefully, Tachrinvan, Supatan, Vicharana Paro, not just reading, but very carefully trying to understand what is the subject matter. Prabhupada used to say, we should study this philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam from all different angles of vision, try to understand. Vicharana Paro, Bhaktya, and we should read, of course, Srimad Bhagavatam with devotion. No, not reading Srimad Bhagavatam like a professional reader, or an impersonalist, like Devananda Pandit was an impersonalist. He was reading Bhagavatam, but he had no faith in Krishna. So we should read Srimad Bhagavatam with great faith and devotion, bhaktya. Then if we do that, very carefully studying, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, trying to understand with great devotion, then the result will be vimuchan naraha. Any person who does that, he will be liberated from material bondage and go back home, back to Godhead. Therefore, this Srimad Bhagavatam is so important. This Bhagavatam is our life. Prabhupada said, we should make Srimad Bhagavatam our life. It means we should always hear Srimad Bhagavatam, study Srimad Bhagavatam, distribute Srimad Bhagavatam to us. Meditate upon what is the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Apply it in our practical lives. Live according to the Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, we should convert ourselves to practical Bhagavats by serving the Bhagavat. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. By serving the Bhagavat means Ek Bhagavata Baro Bhagavata Shastra Ar Bhagavat Bhakta Bhakti Rasa Patra. There are two kinds of Bhagavats who we have to serve. One is the Srimad Bhagavatam and the other is the pure devotee of Krishna. So these two Bhagavats, if we serve throughout our lives, then we shall also become a Bhagavat. Bhagavat means a devotee of Krishna. And in this way we can perfect our lives. Hare Krishna. Is there any question?
What is our following Ekadashi?
Any question about the class? Let's try to discuss about the class. Whatever subject matter has been discussed, we should try to meditate upon it, try to think. Any matter that should be more discussed. Anyone has any question about the class?
Should we look upon demigods like really like they have so many assets, these things are existing on such a dimension that we are just described these things like on this way that we can understand.
What do you mean? It's not actually a fact? No, it's a fact. Fact.
Actually, are they just on dimensions which we cannot see.
They're in a dimension we can't see, and in the dimension we can't see, the Brahma has millions and millions of heads. Some insect you see with so many legs, Brahma may have so many heads. We may not believe, or we may find it difficult to believe, because we have no imagine. It's not within our experience. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Just like British people in the 19th century, they went to Africa. First British people to go. So they came back and they told there's one animal called a giraffe, which is so high with a neck, which is so how long is the neck of a giraffe? 20 feet long. And it eats leaves from a very high tree. There's another animal called rhinoceros, which is big, strong, looks like a huge pig with very thick skin and a horn coming. The people in Britain, they only saw pigs and chickens and goats and cows. But they thought that they've been to Africa, the sun is very hot there, the sun has affected their head and they've become crazy. How can there be any animal like a giraffe or a rhinoceros? No such thing. Because it was outside their experience, they didn't believe it. So we may think, well, I never saw anyone with 10 million heads, so how can it exist? Just because we didn't see it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. What have we seen? What do we know about the universe? No, we accept. Shastra says it must be true. Just like Prabhupada, they had the moonshot, so-called moonshot in 1968 or 9. So Prabhupada was saying, this is all nonsense. It's simply a fake. They're not going to the moon. So one of Prabhupada's disciples, Purushottam, he was Prabhupada's personal servant, he became very disturbed. He thought, this is a great achievement for our country, America, that they're going to the moon. And Prabhupada is simply laughing and joking and calling them bluffers and cheats and saying they never went to the moon. So eventually he left and said, Prabhupada, I can't accept this. And he left Association of Devotees. Prabhupada said, I could understand if he doesn't believe me, but how can he disbelieve Shastra? So we accept Shastra. If we don't accept Shastra, then we don't accept anything. How do we know the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Krishna? It's Shastra.
But they must be there. The blind person.
Well, why blind? Blind means you can't, something you can't see, you have to
accept.
Blind means something you can't see, you have to accept from those who can see, who do understand. It's like subatomic particles. How do you know about the existence of subatomic particles? Do you believe in the existence of subatomic particles? Do you believe such things exist? No? You don't believe. You don't believe anything. You believe in the existence of China, a country called China?
That's because
of the acceptable. Yeah, the same, but that's reasonable, right? You consider it a reasonable. You consider it reasonable because you have the eyes, you haven't seen yourself. But you accept that others who say they've seen it, and therefore you accept that China exists, right? So that's faith. You haven't seen, so in that you could be called blind faith because you haven't seen. But you accept it on the basis of some authority. So most of our knowledge is actually accepted from authority. It's like the sun, we say it's millions of miles away. We don't know. We didn't go there or put a ruler, 1 foot, 2 foot, we didn't see. But we accept on the basis of authority, and that's considered reasonable faith. So similarly, we accept the authority of Shastra. It's given by self-realized persons, people who have no motive to cheat, just like Prabhupada. He gave us Shastra. I didn't see in Prabhupada any motive to cheat or mislead us. He's a perfectly, by his activities, we can see he's a perfectly self-realized soul. Not only he, but all the acharyas, they're all perfectly self-realized souls, and they all accept the Shastra. Plus, there are so many things anyway which we have to accept on authority. We can't find out how far the sun is away from us. This is so much knowledge. There is pratyaksha, that is one level of knowledge. That is what can be seen by our eyes. Only very little things, very few things can be seen directly by our eyes. And there are others, other levels of knowledge. What is that called? Pratyaksha, then paraksha. That means seeing through the eyes of others. In other words, someone says, I went to China, I saw China. Paroksha gyan. Then that means that is seen through the eyes of others. You accept. Then aparoksha. That which cannot be seen even by others, but which is that which is accepted anyway. That means it may be deduced. Just like no one put a ruler or a piece of string and measured how far away the sun is. But it's deduced by scientific calculations, or by Shastra. That's another method. Then adhokshaja is all in relation to the eyes. Paroksha means through someone else's eyes. And aparoksha, which means not through someone else's eyes, but by some kind of scientific analysis. Then adhokshaja, adha akshaja. Aksha means eyes, ja means that which is born. In other words, that can be understood by the eyes. Adhokshaja, that which is completely beyond the range of sense perception or even the deduction. That's called adhokshaja. Krishna's one name is adhokshaja. Krishna can